Parchis, the Siddurch Rav, Siddurch Rav, the Siddurch Rav, the Siddurch Rav. I know that these are not necessarily correlative councils in the next certain areas, depending in part how one understands Siddurch Rav. If the Rav that's intended is the Rav of the Pesach, then probably that's related to the Rav. Instead of the Rav is a master, the teacher, then it's much closer to the master Khtir. Which of the two it is, so this is a thing I mentioned before the master training, the Rambam goes back to really a Mishneh. No, I'm done. Pirush to the late Rashi, Rashi said, Rabbi Rashi to the Malo, Rambam differentiates. Rashi Tzva in Mishneh Tzitzayim, Rashi Tzva Heidel Asot, Rabbi, I don't know the mood, אבל הוא ראה שיהיה רחב שיסמוך לו ויסו ביתר, ויסתלק את הבן הספק, etc. The Council of Silich Rav, the Pricey, who clearly interprets with regard to not a Pricey, or with regard to someone from whom one wants to learn. And the advice which is given here is to have one person from whom one draws the whole phalanx of areas, Chad Viteira, from all. Now there's a dual significance to this. There are two separate issues here. One is the presumption that the Rav, or the supply of Rabbanim, to come into question, these are people who are well versed themselves in Mikra, Mishnah, Mizrash, Achav, Achod, Adot. They're not highly specialized to begin with, they have a broad range of knowledge. And then secondly, which is a separate issue, that one is advised here to try to go to one person to draw from him the whole range of areas of Torah that he learned. And this is better than going to specialists, each one would know his particular area better. But the interdisciplinary element, the interaction would be lost. Now, what the benefit of this is, the basis to some spells out, others doesn't. Part of it is that in due time, perhaps the certain elements which had not been touched upon in the earlier stages, learning Mishnah, then you get about to Midrash. Midrash here refers to not what we call Medrash, but to Midrash Halacha. It's Chazal always, that's the general connotation. So you don't get one stage, you get another stage, it'll be Midrash Halachot. And then the result is, in Tzadim Yashim Kumo, when I talk about Bracha, without scattering one's energies and without becoming an itinerant student, one accumulates knowledge in one particular place, the sense of concentration, gratification, satisfaction. The maze gives you a bit more of an indication of what the value is, but the emotion which he employs. ומי תורה מירה ואחד מה הוא דומה, ואחד שלו שווה אחד, זו מסתדר חיים, מסתדר סורים, מסתדר מסתדר זה מסתדר ילנות, מצד הוא מלא תוגל ברכה. Person doesn't have a diversified portfolio, everything is in one place, and the benefits of that, particularly in a relatively in an agricultural economy, which is less mobile, less fluid, people who are involved in trade and commerce, by definition, go around. They buy here, they sell there. In the agriculture context, by definition, it's a relatively sedentary preoccupation. One is attached to the land, as opposed to mitalteleen. And this is the mashal which is given over here, where things are in order, interactive, and all part of a comprehensive field within which various elements come into play. The other hand, Rabbi Shem Shlosha, there is here, of course, a factual description and an analog, and also value judgment. The description is that there is a kind of wandering around which comes with having a multiplicity of mentors, as opposed to the sense of concentration that you have here, one person. That is to some extent self-evident, almost tautological. What goes with this, though, is the sense that it's much better to be in one place, and not to wander around, as opposed to a person who has a number of fields. The possibility that there may be economies or high quality product, if each field is devoted to one particular product, that is not raised over here. And the assumption seems to be that the final product will be pretty much the same towards the knowledge that you get, but you will be better off as a person in terms of your relationships, in terms of your own self-awareness. I imagine that that's a judgment which in some context it could be challenged. And particularly in our own context, where the multiplication of knowledge brought with it a high degree of specialization seems to be increasing all the time. The assumption is that maybe you're better off for your ordinary medical needs to have one general practitioner. And you have one doctor, he talks to you, and he knows you, and you've got a relationship with him. But if you need something specialized, you need a gastroenterologist, or you need a dermatologist, whatever you need, you will want someone who's a specialist. And the more serious your problem, the more of a specialist you probably be. That, I said, does not come through with you at all. What you do have is Gemara Vizorev, on the face of it, offers different counsel, but perhaps you can view it related to a different situation. Was the one of the Christian Rabbanan, being the David of Humiltu, Mr. Pine, Shafkid, the resident, I'm afraid to tell you something because then you might leave me. What he was afraid to tell them was precisely that which the Baisi here advocates. Well, they heard that Shafkua Vazul coming to Rabbi. They all left. They went to learn by someone else. Omaru Hanimili Svara, Abakaram Rabbi Chadadif, Kechler Lif Lulishin. Here is some differentiation depending on what it is that you want to learn. If you want to get lomdas, chifis, as Rashi says, once you've integrated the basic knowledge, the infrastructure is there, you have the bkiyas, so you're moving on to the next level, to iyun. That's the distinction of Gemara. Svara Gemara. Gemara is more the basis of all knowledge. Svara is the analysis. The analysis is basically a multiplicity of views, different perspectives, different insights, different methods. The more information is pretty much standardized. And that if you hear from one person, you're better off. Otherwise, you might get conflicting versions, conflicting texts, and that will simply be confusing. Now, we take the two Gemaras, the two texts side by side, each seems to focus on different needs. And I think it may very well be that's the answer to the difference between them. There may be another answer as well. First answer is, depending really what you need, the Vice Rabbi of Nosson here might be related more to the development of Gemara, gave him the basic knowledge. Even though it speaks of Tom may be the reason, maybe the taste, the flavor. And the Gemara there says, with regard to this Gemara, you'd be a bit of off with one person. But in the sense, the focus seems to be different. Here, it counts as more to one's total spiritual well-being and psychological well-being. Here, I think it's more of a focus upon the educational, the learning, the cognitive experience as such. And presumably, Tamarim and Rav Chisda had, not the people are being addressed the vice over here. I guess the Chisda Tamidim apparently were very advanced and they lived for a number of years and they went off to learn by Rabbi. And perhaps for them, their basic personality, their commitment, the basic relationship to the world of Torah was molded. And what they needed now was to grow, hopefully exponentially, in terms of the Lamdas Tamid Chachomim. Counsel over here has to do with a person going the full route, starting almost from scratch. The various elements cited here, Mikra, Mishnah, Midrash, Halachot, Agadot, to some extent corresponds to various stages of the person's development, almost from childhood. Not that one could learn Mikra from a master, of course one could, but Mikra, Mishnah, Midrash, these are presumably the various stages and the totality of a person's development till he attains maturity. But as the Gemara of Rizal, maybe we're talking about someone who has attained maturity. The needs in this respect, if one is dealing with someone who's a mature, Lamden, or a neophyte, obviously there are different priorities. The advantage, or the advantages, the plural, of having a single Rav, Rav Kevin to learn anything from him, is at one plane, at cognitive area per se, the ability in an interdisciplinary manner to relate to Mikra, to Agadot, and to build one integrated world rather than a series of courses, you'll take a course here, a course there. In this respect, the assumption is that one wants the Rebbe to be Boki, Mikra, Mishnah, Gosh, Achav, Agadot, and the Talmud wants to follow in his footsteps, wants to have the same capacity, the same ability, the same perspective on the interaction of Tanakh, and Machshove, and Halacha, and Gemara, and Medrash, Haggadah, to get all of that coming from a single person who has a single integrated vision rather than something which is bifurcated and not polarized. That's one major advantage. And certainly in terms of the totality of building a person as a victor, as a Talmud, it's an enormous advantage. There's a price to be paid. Presumably, a person who's well-versed in Mikra, Mishnah, Midrash, Halachot, Agadot, unless he's a very superior person, probably does not know Mikra as well as someone who's a specialist in that area, or Midrash is more special in that area. But for the ordinary person trying to develop and build himself, not necessarily as a professional alumnus, the price is probably well worth being paid. The second element, second major advantage, has to do with relationships, which itself probably has a dual significance. Number one, a person who has a Rebbe not just comes to university, takes a course here, a course there, each professor he sees for a few minutes before the lecture, a few minutes after the lecture. But someone who has developed a relationship for a period of time, and over a wide range of areas. He can discuss with him, has discussed with him a whole range of problems, concerns that he has. That makes it the personal level for a relationship to the Rav and the Talmud, which is part of the Mesela, and it's very crucial and critical in that respect. And that may satisfy a very human, a very personal, a psychological need. But at the same time, there's importance of learning wants himself to plug into the Mesela. And to the extent that he can plug into a person who gets the Mesela in its multifaceted, it's not kaleidoscopic nature, it's a person who is much more reliable, much more stable, even much more of a sense, not necessarily of expertise, but more than that, a person in whom Torah is realized and to whom, quite apart from looking to him at the interpersonal level, you can look to him as an anchor, the world of a servant to which you want to come connected and related. So there may be very well be a difference between what stage, what phase we're talking about. If put it a little bit differently, I think there may very well be a difference in terms of what degree of variety one is talking about. So maybe the difference to the person who has a home, and out of that home, he goes on forays, he goes on trips, he goes on vacations, some limited, some extended, maybe he goes for occasional sabbatical, but fundamentally, he has an anchor, he has a home. Another person lives out on hotel rooms, airport lounges. But I think the price is talking about over here is not that a person never hear, never be exposed to anyone else with different orientation and with a different level, different kind of expertise. The point is, I say l'charav, ask l'charavim. To have someone with whom you can be a relationship in depth, intensity, gives one a spiritual home. From that home, there may be excursions. Maybe he learns the yeshiva acts and goes for his mother for a year to yeshiva Y. He has a primary rebbe, goes to here, for a significant period of time, someone else. That's very different from having no home at all. It may very well be that Prophet Dimas that I mentioned earlier, depending on which stage in life a person is at, the Bais Council of Yerushalayim Harav have a Rav's Keva. Someone to whom you look, upon whom you can rely, whom you can follow, whom you can trust, whether it's for psak, whether it's for learning, someone's method you can internalize and integrate. That's what we're talking about over here. But there, what the Avchista says, the person who's only learned to Torah b'Rav Echad, he's only seen one thing, only one method, one derech, and only one practitioner of that derech, maybe he becomes a bit of a clone. But Simon Brache, which has to do with growth and development and persons reaching outward, that he's not going to see. Obviously, the broader question of degree of specialization is much to be said for that on either side. The Renaissance ideal of a person who has a wide range of knowledge and can see interdisciplinary relationships, as opposed to the contemporary and more scientifically and technologically oriented degree of specialization, which sometimes is lampooned as knowing more and more about less and less, and you know everything about nothing. But the advantages are very clear, and all of us, for certain narrowly focused purposes, we need a specialist, we want a specialist. And this, of course, is something which is reflected in not only the practical world, but the intellectual world as well. The kind of scope, the range, and the audacity to make pronouncements about a wide area, which characterized 19th century science, for instance, you don't find in the 20th and 21st. People who would sit down single-handed, write a 20-volume history of the Smondi mode of Italy, and what's the name of France? Michelet, what about France? Today, for one volume, we have a whole battery of research assistants and whatnot. And all of that, of course, may make more precise knowledge, but for, in a sense, poor people, in terms of their breadth, sometimes in terms of their depth as well. All right, but that, as I've said, is a larger question. I think certainly those of us who have been privileged to learn by the Rav can see the enormous advantages to be gained, the parts of his Shir Lomdus, from his ability in Mikra and Agadot, and if we had three different specialists, one from one, one from the other, we would not have gotten anywhere nearly what we did get, and this is a great advantage. Set of Chav here, as I've indicated, refers primarily to learning. That's understood by learning as opposed to Psak. Psak is a separate issue, we're not going to let this Mishnah here. Keder Chover is diverted by the Brisa also to that area, although it doesn't open with that. It opens with friendship in the normal sense. Kind of intimacy and companionship. Here you have an interwoven two things, but the primary theme seems to be that of companionship in general, where even the part about learning is part of the what they do, since these are people who are learning, apparently the yeshiva. So, as you say, well, what are we talking? Yeshua is kind of a you can be open and frank. So, my brother says, Yikaibo Yishneibo. Yikaibo Kostav, Sileto Sileto Echeretz. Just what the Echeretz, the first of you, is not clear, but apparently it means in the broader sense of the term, Midid Alma, not in the narrow sense, which we often use it today as sort of. Gentrified etiquette, that's in that sense which has in Chazal. Now, at this plane, what you're talking about is the significance in human terms of friendship, of companionship, of shared experience, and of the ability to relate interpersonally. It follows the second half. Seems to present a different focus. Shnayim shiyoshim oskim b'torah b'tay echad me'ayim halacha, rosh haperek, or shomar tamei tahor, tahor tamei, asu mutar, v'mutar asu, chaviro machziro, nayim shchaviro machziro k'rei v'yesh v'mesechato b'amalan, shvatavim v'shnayim min echad, v'yesh v'mesechato b'amalan. This narrows the focus considerably from where at the beginning, and in two respects. Number one, instead of talking about the shared commonality of experience, community of experience, which relates to all kinds of areas, physiological, sociological, religious, intellectual, you focus very, very narrowly upon the learning. But even within the area of learning, the significance is further reduced by narrowing it to what the advantages are. In various contexts in Chazal, of course, they speak of the value of learning together jointly, learning chavrusa. Chavrusa, the exchange of views, the confrontation, challenge, being challenged and challenging, the animation, the sheer joy of discourse. Perhaps conjoined to that, the personal issues can be developed in the course of that. But anyway, the sense that in terms of reaching Amit Shel Torah, not seen by avoiding mistakes, but by plumbing more deeply, arranging more extensively, one knows here, the other knows there, all of that is very enriching. There's, of course, a price to be paid, as people who live in Kharusa know, but by and large, certainly the early stages of the person's development is very well worth it. That's something you have over here. Then you have a spell check. You have a Kharusa, maybe if you spelled wrong, you passed it wrong, you thought wrong, he's there to keep tabs and to reverse you. Now this is perhaps valuable, but clearly far more limited significance, either in human terms or in cognitive terms. And when we talk about it normally, we counsel Bacha, Dolma, Lola, or Chavusa, it's not just a case if somebody makes a mistake. So in this respect, as I've said, it's much narrower focus. And the question as a whole, the significance to be attached to Ketanei Chachover, as opposed to Asseinu Chorav, as opposed to other values, is a question to be considered in its own right. It's 30, 40 years ago, I remember Professor Blitzky wrote an article, it was an article, which is told to me all the other. And he noted, I think very, very correctly, that the value of friendship as a major value, as a major virtue, within our world is relatively muted. I'd say within our world, I mean as opposed, not necessarily to the Goyish world today, I don't know what the situation is over there, but if you deal with the classical world, friendship was an enormous virtue. In Plato, in Cicero, in much Renaissance literature, friendship is one of the cardinal virtues. It sits together with justice, with benevolence, etc. It was not something which you thought was good for you psychologically. And if you decided that you were a lone wolf, to'olecha bracha, that was viewed to them as a moral fault, sort of egocentrism, and a deficiency in personality, and a deficiency in the quality of a person's life. To have no friends is to be equivalent to being unjust. Add that whole range, as Renaissance authors did, when they had to take certain topics, and each topic they listed my mother. A little avra, the Katekemach, and with Hashem's times, there's a little compendium, but you have each topic, you had a list of Midrashim, a list of Sukkim, a list of Chazals, and this is what Lily had, or Montaigne, also that all list of stories, David and Pythias, here's the David, Oxlue, and you wanted to expatiate the theme of friendship, what a wonderful thing it was, how significant, how meaningful, etc. It is the equivalent, to some extent, maybe a bit less, but not very much less, if we were to write a piece on the values of marriage. Maybe we wouldn't quite call it a moral fault if a person decided to be a bachelor, but on the other hand, we wouldn't regard it as a neutral matter either, even in axiological terms, in moral terms. I think there's something wrong with it. That's not the way life ought to be lived. Something of that vein you get, as I've said, in classical literature in dealing with the theme of friendship. And there's very, very little of that. Ketanei Chovah has a piece of advice here, but as I mentioned in the second part of this maimel, there it's very, very narrow in every respect. Even the first part, so it's given to you as a good answer, but not much more than that. There's no plethora of texts. If you open up a compendium such as the Kadakemach, there's no entry there which Chaverut. And in that respect, what you have over here is valuable counsel per se, but if we had to build some phalanx or some hierarchy of values, this would not be anywhere near the where its corresponding position would be in some of the classical marvelous. Now coming back to what I mentioned in previous occasions, that some of the things that you have in some of the dicta that are quoted are the nature of psak, halacha, normative. Some are etzoteva, sometimes pragmatic, sometimes more than pragmatic, marvel as well. I suppose it's here what you have for somewhere between the continuum of the pragmatic and the moral. It's good to lead a richer life, a better life, a fuller life, if you'll have it rather than be lonely. But yet very, as I say again, in terms of normative demand, even the level of Asir Chorab, Asir Chorab, I think, both here and Mishnah Tazayin, presents much more of a demand, seeming to do it. Here, it's good advice, Ksteni Chachov. Many Darshanim, the Parshanim, of course, have addressed themselves to the Knei as opposed to the Asay. Knei, even in the sense that you have to pay a certain price for it, the Rebbe comes for nothing, or that you need to exert yourself more. It's not a question of enrolling and listening right when you need, whatever you wish, but you have to reach out. You have to be more assertive if you want to develop that kind of relationship. I think, as I've said before, the comment I've developed expanded here a bit, but I think fundamentally it's a correct insight and a valuable one. What follows seems a little out of place over here. Later on in the Mishnayos, we have a sequence of Mishnayos. We speak of people asking the Torah, how the Shechina rests upon them. It's in the wake of the Mishnah speaks before of the reverse, people who sit at the table and do not discuss the great table, etc. So there you have a whole way, a whole suit of Mishnah, to speak in the praise of the Eisim Tamatera. But there the focus is upon the interaction of them with Shechina, not so much the interaction of them but among themselves. Here, presumably this enters as an extension of the Sefer, the Fram Knei Chover, where there you had spoken of the value in terms of learning. So here, if Shoshu Yosim Torah, Tim Nasim Udach Ad Lefanav. What is not specified here, that's what you read between the lines. So what's the significance of that? Apparently it's not viewed as a statement describing the psychological value. You have a group. But somehow the religious significance, And that is somehow a value. Of course, the term Yosechul Magudechos is very much in our minds. But they speak of a kind of universal redemption, something which has an eschatological ring. Here you speak with Sakhkol, three people who seem to be learning, and became in a Samaguda. The implication is, and this is perhaps an extension of what is here implicit before is explicit, that the learning will be different, maybe the commitment is different. There's a sense here that Benchler doesn't want people to be just isolated, asocial, but that the social element is one which is an enriching and uplifting quality. I would say this not in the practical, psychological sense, but almost in a metaphysical sense. Baruch Hu Kinasagudei Echos, and that being an aguda is a desiderata. There's a question to give thought over here. This is the use of the term aguda, this connection, which has a relatively limited unifying character. We speak of unity, we speak of organic unity. Different cells, one entity. And aguda, by definition, is simply things which gel together mechanically or artificially. You have a few carrots, and then you have a piece of string around them, or egged and haloche, little sechegged. So, a pidin, the egged there is significance, of course, and one can make many drushes about the relation to the different meaning. But in terms of the nature of its unity, it's far less interactive and certainly not organic. The way that other things are, whatever term Aguda appears, Aguda Sezov, either to the Pesach Mitzrayim or we got to Paraduma, Eged of Lulav. I don't know whether the implication here is that Aguda Echos is fine, but still they maintain the sense of individuality and their distinctive character, distinctive personality, and that is about as a value. So all of us should want to be Aguda Echos. The joint sense of purpose, its commitment, but each with his own being. Or maybe that's just a term which suggests, maybe it is a term suggestion more than I think that it does. The next maimil, which follows upon this, goes off in a different direction altogether. It doesn't relate to being a chabura, a chavusa, minimal, that seems to be the minimal three. But shnayim to do is mit Torah, chacham tkabei b'marom, shoz tibu yashem mishre, v'shem yashem yishma, etc. Now, what increment of schar there is, the fact that they are learning together, as opposed to whether they will be learning individually, it's not clear. And what schar is miskabel b'marom? Presumably, it's not the schar of learning per se that they can do by themselves. Apparently, there's some additional incremental schar for the aznidbu, the interaction. Whether that gives them different quality of the learning, or whether the dabus is such, the communication, the openness, the directness, is a moral value, irrespective of its contribution to learning, that is not clear. What follows just adds a little bit to the beclouding and possibly the confusion. They heard this example, people were put in jail, it does. So they say, these are Yir Hashem, the ones who implement Oyma V'Oyse. They take initiative and they are able to follow through. Then the Choshvei Shmo, these are the people who think but don't implement, שמחשבים בליבם ואומרים, נלך ותראה את עשוי לפני את השבויים, לא יש לי שבו בידיהם, הוא בא מעלה בחוותם בקרקע, so they are defined as חשי שבוי. Whether in some sense, the former or spirit of the latter, well, this brings, of course, a very critical and crucial question in modern religious thought, and this is the extent to which virtue is in the objective act of the implementation of the personality. From a certain point of view, you can focus on the inner element. For instance, if you have two people, one of whom gives tzedakah grudgingly, the other one wishes he could give tzedakah but has no money or he's in jail. Now obviously it makes a great deal of difference whether the person doesn't give tzedakah or doesn't give hoots for what happens to their name, because he's penniless. Both cases not giving tzedakah for different reasons. Here there's no indication what happened. What is this malach doing? He's obviously interfering with, I presume, it refers not to what happens afterwards, that they should be punished. He says, why should they be punished? But this is part of the process. How was it? He sends a malach who thwarts their initiative. Now, of course, we are very much oriented, certainly the Mishnah among us, to the objective halachic manifestation. And the person who wanted, was anxious to do, but didn't, so we figure it's very good, he's a fine person, but we probably have a higher estimate of a person who both wants and fulfills. From some point of view, though, it may be a little bit unfair. If the desire is there, and the person extends himself as best as he could, if the objective circumstances prevent him from fulfilling, why should in any respect be deemed less than others? Elsewhere, it most relates to the pasuk, but not in this vein. It's not explicit in the Gemara, in the Braisa here, but I think that between the lines, what one reads is that somehow being a Yirei Hashem is more than being just a Chosh Hashmo. Mark's Dushan was the member of Shiva Tova Mitzafel Masse. It's Bush Mitzafel Masse. She never was the Buddha Hashem Shreyu, and Shave, Yishma, and Shave Yishma, because we get the same as the one for now, the Gashu Kashishmo. מה הוא חושב שמו? אמר אבסי, אפילו חשב אדם לעשות מצווה ונאנס ולא עשה, מעלה לו כתוב כאילו עשה. The whole thrust of it is that you don't differentiate the חושב שמו not inferior to Yirei Hashem, because the reason he couldn't be kind of mitzvah ונאנס. If a person who has this feeling, it's also about a pattern. In our mind, so again, the impression I get is that somehow there is differentiation in Yesh Chodeshma. And I guess the critical factor would have to be, why is it that they were not paid any shvui? Please, Yesh Baruch B'deyem. That could mean they were somewhat at fault, totally anusim. How do they relate to this? This, the Gemara Kedushin, of course, one facet of the general issue of the objective is what's subject to poles when you got to virtue of fulfillment. And here there are, of course, four different levels. stages. One is a person who wants to do and does. Person who, that's what, is that a person who does not want to, well, let's not do a mitzvah. Person wants to do a mitzvah is mekayem a mitzvah. Person who wants to do a mitzvah but is not mekayem a mitzvah. That could be for various reasons, either because something goes awry and he's unable to be there on time for the proper paraphernalia, or maybe he makes a mistake. True, the Berish Chai is someone who for decades put out the field, they discovered their apostle. And they put them out religiously every day. How do you relate to that? On the other hand, if you got to the world of Averis, you have a case in which a person did not do an Averis but wanted to. That's the Gemara Kedushin Daf Pei Aleph. That and then the case of someone who wanted to do a mitzvah but and did it, no, the person who did a mitzvah but without the proper commitment and engagement. So he has the objective problem, not the subjective, and the Mechayesh Rishmai has the opposite. Distinction which, with this whole issue is one which, around which there was great debate between Kant and the general world, between Kant and the utilitarians, as to what makes something good. And Kant's point of view, what made a person good, or what made an act good, was the intention which lay behind it, that defined the act. From today's point of view, tachlis, bottom line, what finally happened. But even the utilitarians, whom John Stuart Mill and his father were his great representatives, Mill says, the younger Mill writes at one point, that the intent which accompanies an action has nothing to do with its being good or bad, although it has a great deal to do with the virtue of the agent. If you're dealing with a gavre, so then the intention, of course, is very, very critical. If you're dealing with a maise, then not. This translates in the world of halacha, terminology which Chaim Moses to employ. You could have one case where you have a gavre who is in tzad, get a maise aveir, and a maise mitzvah. That's the optimal. But I have a case in which a person is a tzaddik, but he doesn't have a ma'aseh mitzvah. The chesh rishmai. The person is wonderful, but the mitzvahs aren't there. The level of v'gat haveiros, the other side, could have someone who doesn't have haveiros, but the gavur is a roshe, but there is no ma'ase mitzvah. No ma'ase aveira, no ma'ase chaviyat satla. And possibly filling out the picture, should be a case in which a person, as we have with gavur aveiros, person who can do a ma'ase aveira, but the gavur is not a roshe, in case of a cotton or an onus called a somachrenim. She had a similar situation with regard to mitzvahs. The person does a ma'aseh mitzvah, the guy was not a tzaddik. The Mirim Zagdomet the Saita makes an interesting comment. As far as I know, the Gemara is no source for it. He says, the Yigur Badom mitzvahs, Eden Tzikus Kavone, so the Kaim the mitzvah, there's no schar. That is exactly the particular mishpetzet, someone with Gavre is not a tzaddik, but Mais is a Mais mitzvah. I don't know whether that means, according to him, that you should do the mitzvah all over again, with a bracha or not, whether he was Yetz personally, or just for the, according to finding the Mais. In any event, there seems to be a clear difference between the Braisa here and the Gemara Kedushin as to how we to evaluate the Rechish v'Yishmael. I said before, in terms of our gut instincts, yes, that we have divided responses. We should be necessary some respect one way, some another way, but some in one respect we respond one way, another way. We have certain admiration for people who are properly motivated for motivation, but it's not to say we have no response and no admiration for accomplishment and realization. I think there could be. Earlier in that Gemara Kedushin, the distinction comes up with Tzadik Tov and Tzadik Ra, the Rosh Tov Ashera. There that distinction comes up. I think it will make a great deal of sense. Alright, the conclusion of this passage, and we'll stop. יחיד ישוב סביב בתורה שכה מתקבל במרום, שמע ישוע בדם ידום, ישיע בדם ידום כי נטל עליו. Here what you have is this oscillation of these prices here to be simply stating that שכה מתקבל במרום and going beyond that, speaking not simply of the reward which these people get, but of how they're defined as persons. When you start here, or you start off with Agudah Echos, that defines the group, and the minimum limit to three is the Chabura, as you have with regard to Zimun. Two is the minimum interaction, but the Chabura has to be more than two. So three is the minimum, that's the Agudah, that's Ugay, but you have with regard to Zimun as well. Then you have with regard to Shnaim Shemesh Eskabatera, just the same as Chabur Bamarim, moving back to this definition of respective merits of individuals, Yirei Hashem, Chesh Rishmai, then you come back to the equivalent of Sroi B'Kar B'Morim with regard to an individual. Here you have a mashal, and I'm a little unclear as to what the mashal is. Roshu mashal ma'adavah domeh. Nechad she'el ben katan, hi nichov yetza l'shuk. Amad, that is the kid, the father is off wherever he is, Amad v'natan ata megillah, הניחה בין ברכיו, ויושב והוגה בה. כיוון שבאבי מן השוק, אמר, הוא בני קטן שהלכתי, ויצאתי לשוק. מעשה, מעצמו, למד ונתן את המגילה, והניחה בין ברכיו, ויושב והוגה בה. אבל אמר את השף יחיד שיושב עוסק בתורה, הסחור מתגבל באמרות. What it says we understand, I don't understand what the Marshall adds, what you had before. What is the quote of the wish of Yabi Yitzhak Ashuk? What does that mean? And presumably with regard to the little kid, normally probably he was too, while the father's away, the kid fools around and plays. That would be the normal thing, to bring cotton. And this kid, Yelotov Yerushalayim, has nothing to do with that, takes out the sefer and begins to look at the pour over it, so the father will come back. But if we speak of learning the Baal Shem's Teva, it's not because we think that he's left us, and here we are fending for ourselves instead of watching movies, sitting and learning. We learn because we want to learn, because we have to learn, tzuah to learn. Not clear to me what the Marshal of the being caught in it. So from a certain point of view, of course, you can speak of people who are sort of engineers and still yelodim ketanim, in a certain respect, also always tempted to have all kinds of things and make the effort, express the commitment, which is manifested in their learning. But that I understand, but I don't know what quality of learning is different from what might have been expected, what it entails. All right, we'll stop here. Now, the next my method is called Chavschus. In this connection, would be very worthwhile to look at two things. Number one, Sugin Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chav Zayin, which is the fullest exposition of this. And Oh, three things here. Bryson to Askirinim, Mosetish Tamisech, which Rashi Al-Tera quotes, and amongst the Shenim, the one who gave the fullest stature to this, is the Shulter, he has all Shulter, I believe Shulter Ben, if I remember correctly, which deals with this topic of being Nalachav Schutz.